Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio and The Lois Effect. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. Hello, darling.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, hello. This is our sweetest edition. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. As the listeners switch to other shows, you know what? I would switch to another show too. Go ahead.
Oh. All right, that's the case. Goodbye, everybody.
Okay,
we'll
gotta go. Okay, take care. Anybody has a question, ask somebody else. Okay. Who knows? Who knows? Listen, we gotta take it light because sometimes I think our last show is very. Was it? I don't even remember. But sometimes we just have shows where it's just like. Was it the last show? Maybe we had a couple of calls.
Yes. I can't fact check that right now, but
no. But I think so. I think so. And yes. That's right. Actually, I think that's why I'm kicking it off in just in a light, kind of silly, nonsensical way. Yes, I do remember it. So many people are hurting, and I also reported on the last show that one of my students had committed suicide. And then it's crazy. And then, like, within that week, just, you know, catching up with people, just the numbers. The numbers must be, like, out of control because at least two other people I spoke to reported, like, you know, teen suicide that they were very approximate towards or it was close to them or it's just related. And I'm like, okay, that's what this is. It's very sad. It's a very challenging time. I think it's interesting, too, because I got my taxes done yesterday. Thank you, sweet Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left the place, I had it done at a H&R Block in my neighborhood because I just wasn't, whatever, can't mess with it. And the receptionist or the woman running the office, she said, it's a really tough time for a lot of people because I guess what the IRS is trying to do now or whatever, but I took a more profound stance or takeaway from it is that now it's like systems are placed to be like 2019. So people are scrambling, you know, with their taxes. The breaks are different. You know, people that got unemployment aren't getting it from when they got it for like a year or whatever during the height of COVID. And I think that when she said, yes, it's been tough and there's a lot, and this is what she said, and this is a tax chick, but I took it metaphysically. She said, yes, it's like everything's trying to go back to 2019, but with that there's a lot of disappointment. I thought that was very interesting. Of course, how she meant it was entirely differently than how I received it.
Mm-hmm.
But what have we just been going through? There's no slate to be wiped clean, and COVID is still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing that's it's a managed thing. It's really more. If you're fortunate, more of an inconvenience. I mean, that's really what it was for my household. You know, my 24-year-old son had, you know, what could have been a very bad cold for a few days. Really not a big deal. You know, I just took it very seriously in terms of, you know, protocol or whatever in my house. But I thought that was interesting. That maybe there's so much disappointment, I don't know, and the fallout of all of this, but the degree of depression, unhappiness, victim consciousness, lack consciousness, there's a lot, oof, there's a big fallout from all of this. But I thought it was interesting how taking that comment from the person from the tax place, it made me think of, you know what I mean? So that's why we're starting the show with, hello. Hello. Yeah, we got to go to Silly Town. It's a lot of people are weathering lots of stuff. Look at our champ, Marguerite. You know?
Right.
Yeah, she's a champ. So it's so much going on. And, oof. To have the grace,
well,
to
I guess,
have gratitude.
You know, like this is like I guess this is sort of how it is when we are watching news, on a regular basis. You know, we're tuned to mostly all the really crazy things that are happening. The thing is to acknowledge that this stuff happens. If you were to watch the news every day, just even local news, it's like, wow, every day
there's crazy happening.
Robbery, there's murder, there's, you know, there's, you know, questionable ethics. There's, you know, there's all these things. And if you, for that one half hour or hour every day, you're focused on that. And that's just, say, half hour. So that's just local news. And then it usually is followed up with, you know, world news, which, again, picks out things that are happening around the world. And so you start to receive that information as, well, this shit happens everywhere. And, you know, nowhere is safe. So, I mean, this is sort of how it evolves. And then for your entertainment, you know, you watch primetime TV and or you watch any movie and it's the same kind of theme. But that, you know, unless it says based on a true story, or it's a documentary, then you know that it's technically fiction, but it's still more of the same. But now it's because everyone knows it's fiction or should be, it's presented as fiction, that there's a lot more that can be presented. A lot of other themes all coupled in, you know, 2 hours or an hour. It's interesting. Because, you know, I'm someone who wasn't feeling well and wanted to binge all these different things. I'm like, wow, some of it's just overwhelming. I gotta switch it to something else because it's too much.
Yep.
So the thing is, if we think about what we talk about, and this is whether it's, you know, on the show or in our heads, you know, it's a way to kind of check. And not to say, okay, you got to change your story every single time to make other people feel comfortable. It's not about that, but it's just recognizing, okay, what are we taking in from all of that? And here's an interesting thing: is that seasonally, I guess it's that transition period. We're not quite into spring, but it's supposed to change, like.
It's around the corner.
It's around the corner. Like we have, it's really cold in the morning, and then at some point during the day, it's warm, and then back at night, you're like, okay, where's my hoodie? Where's my jacket? And and you know, we changed our time Sunday, so now we're waking up
like that,
and it's early, and it's light out. So we're having to change. You know, we're changing a lot. We change all the time, but now our our focus is, you know, on some days it's like, oh, it's such a beautiful day. Like usually here in Atlanta, springtime in Atlanta is beautiful. And, you know, you can deal with the pollen. It's fine. But, you know, you look around and I mean, I've heard many people who are generally like on more of a negative spectrum with what they think about. Like, oh, it's what a beautiful day. I'm like, wow, look at that. You know, just that moment, that opening of it being a little lighter was nice. And But I do think we just have to check, like, you know, when we're talking about things, if we want to find a balance, if we want to say, okay, well, I've talked about heavy, heavy stuff. And, you know, like today, today and tomorrow, today is the wake for my friend's father's funeral.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So my friends and I are going to go to that later today. And then tomorrow is a service. And that's in the middle of the day. So not as many of us can go, but a couple of us are going. And so, you know, I already know that I'm expecting that it's going to be a little heavy because it was, you know.
Well, it's serious. Mm-hmm.
It's serious. And yet, you know, this man was just, he was a joker, you know, like he was just super fun. And I know that he had that effect on so many people. He was also an educator. So he definitely had a big effect on a lot of people, you know, a lot from all different ages. So I also anticipate that there'll be some laughter as we recall
Absolutely.
Memories with him.
And weren't you somebody very, like, special to him? Like, she made it a point, right?
Yeah. I mean, he was.
Yeah, you guys had a connection? Yeah.
Yeah. He would call me. It's out of the blue. Just, you know, and sometimes usually when he would call me, I would be on a tour. And so I'd have to call him back. I couldn't answer him right away. But he's like, we're just thinking of you. Or, you know, sometimes I'll call back and, you know, like, his wife will answer the phone. It's just like, we were just talking about you and, you know, we were invited to whatever, like, you know, come over for dinner for Thanksgiving, you know, for a holiday or whatever, or
Isn't
Easter.
Nice?
You know, just, yeah. And so I just really appreciated that throughout the years. And I've known his daughter since Lord knows when. I mean, it's been a minute because she's only like 3 or 4 years younger than I am. And we were all part of the same fraternity. We didn't go to the same schools, but
right.
We had that connection. So it's been a while since I've known her and met her family. So, yeah. And, you know, I think first funeral I remember attending that really made a big impact on me was one of my best friend at the time from like middle school on passed away. When we were in college, so we were going to different schools, but it was unexpected to us because we didn't know he had had leukemia and had been in remission. He had been battling it. He was a cell biologist, so he was actually looking for a cure. So
That's
it was
crazy.
Something that he did not talk about a lot with his kids.
Mm-hmm.
He had two daughters, so you know we didn't know. Or if, I mean, I didn't know. And so when I got the call when I was in college from my best friend, she was in tears. And I'm like, well, I just, like, we just saw each other. We saw each other over the holidays. And and so, of course, you know, I go to the funeral, to the service. And there was so much joy and laughter and light because he knew he was going to die at some, you know. Sooner rather than later. He knew that this day would eventually come. So he had already arranged for the service. He knew what he wanted, what songs he wanted in the service, which people he would like to speak. And everyone had just wonderful. He was a really funny guy. Great sense of humor. And so he would, the recountings of his life. I mean, I felt very uplifted, at his service in remembering who he was. And that always stuck with me because I'd been to not many by that point. I was like a sophomore in college, but I'd been to a few usually because of it's like, you know, high school friends, people who have passed and very young, very like, oh, what happened here? And it's such a shock, you know, and it, obviously incredibly sad. To lose people so soon. Here was this one service, this one person who had I guess, embrace that idea, like, you know, it's going to happen. And you know, to be honest, we're not going to get out of this alive. It's all going to happen at some point. So how would you want people to feel? Like, he had an idea of how he wanted, like, if this was going to be his news hour, right? Because everyone's tuning in, everyone's paying attention. Mm-hmm. Then how would he want people to feel? And this was very, on point for him to have created such a beautiful ceremony, where, I mean, everyone was just feeling good. I mean, there was tears, were happy tears, sad tears, but mostly because it was just the quintessential feeling of who he was. And mm-hmm. it was just such a good reminder at that for me, well, at any age, but to really take that in, to have that contrast of, yeah, you know, he's gone. He knew his dealing with what he was dealing with, that it was going to happen at some point. He knew he wanted people to still feel good about life, about their time together in whatever capacity. And it was a feeling of hope. I mean, that was a magic about having something like that. And I've always remembered that. I mean, it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's been, 30 years, maybe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I've always remembered that. And in the back of my head, I'm like, you know, and it's not to be grim, but it is like, you know, it's like when you're leaving, when you have to move on mm-hmm. to yep. whatever, usually you do some type of, okay, well, like I'm moving, I'm going to a new school, or I have to go to a new job,
right.
or you know, other things where I've got to clean out a house, you know, my parents are going, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Usually there's this sense of, well, I didn't get to say these things, or I didn't get to do these things, or I want to leave on a good note. I want some type of, you know, leaving in a good way where, okay, I'm ready, and I feel like I've shared what I can share, and this is what I can do. And so I feel like he took that to that next level because he was aware that there are things, and, you know, I don't know all the stuff he did with his own family, what was planned for that. But just for that big gathering, knowing that he was really active in his church, you know, that type of level of community and commitment for him, I just thought it was really beautiful. And it was so indicative of who he was. So it still carried through in his transition. It carried through that he was very thoughtful, and the sort of person that he was as he lived his life carried over into his transition to death.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And so mm-hmm. that's what I think of now. Like, well, you know, I mean, I have my moments, and everyone, you know, everyone has their moments, but, you know, like mm-hmm. what kind of music, like Morning Has Broken, that song, Morning Has Broken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a song that was played at his service.
Nice.
And it's one of my favorite
yeah.
songs because of that.
Oh,
so
that's so sweet.
Yeah. So I figure, you know, that's the way I would like for that to be for me, you know, now, I've never been to one of those, but I've seen, like, on TV. I've seen it on TV, those, like, New Orleans.
Having,
like, a band play. Like, I think that would be kind of cool,
yeah,
too.
The funeral,
you know?
the funeral march, and they got the
yeah.
drums, and they're dancing. And I love the procession. But, you know, does the Waffle House have a theme song? Because they think we should play that for you. Do they have, like a jingle? I think that would work.
I'm sure that there's probably like back in the well, I
the
think they all still have it. No, they have they do have certain songs on their jukeboxes that might have. But I mean, it's been a minute since, you know, been in there long enough to play. Like, we're not thinking about music,
right?
But
that
would
be
a really
song
funny
for your funeral. Yes.
Well, there's one song. As soon as you said that, there's one song that I tend to think of, and it's definitely not a Waffle House, like, you know, curated song sort of thing, but mm-hmm. It's a country song. There's obviously there's going to be a lot of country music
of
on these two boxes.
Oh,
but there's one.
A lot of country music. Mm-hmm.
There's one by Travis Tritt. It's called "Here's a Quarter, Call Someone Who Cares." It's really funny.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
So yeah,
sorry,
I mean,
the tequila makes me take my clothes off.
That would be if you could fit that in, that would be really funny. You know, I think it would be funny to have certain like kind of you know chuckle songs like of course you know just to get people laughing.
Right, going to the country, gonna eat some peaches. I mean, come on, these are hits.
That one I'm gonna put on yours for sure.
No, you're not. You shan't. You shall not.
Yeah,
girl.
So.
Girl. Honey. That was almost a year ago. Oh, my God.
I know. That's funny.
I have to come back. It's so funny. Oh, my God.
So when we look at those things, because I've read where – you know, we're in this form on this plane when a baby is born, it's like this cause for huge celebration. But on the other side, it's like, oh, we had to say goodbye to that soul as that soul went into a new dimension, you know, for the long haul. And so when death happens, we're sad and they're happy on the other side. Oh, you're coming home, you know. So it's interesting.
Yep.
To get these different perspectives. So, I mean, and it happens all the time. Like I said, when we have these different transitions in our lives, you know, I've been binge watching Degrassi, which is hilarious. It's like, you know, the Canadian teen drama. It's like a longstanding, been on for
my older son grew up with that. So yeah. Jake was in a yeah. wheelchair.
There's, I never watched the original stuff. I remember when I was a lot younger. I don't know how it's been on for a while. I remember when it would kind of be on. It would be like, ooh, they're dealing with some really tough topics. Like, ooh, you know. But I never got into it. It wasn't on, I guess, consistently in the States by that early version of it. So, but I stumbled across it recently and was able to binge like all of it. I'm like,
oh, that's so funny.
It's crazy. I'm like, there's a lot happening in this tiny school in Toronto. There's
Canada.
A lot happening.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
and I'm also thinking of the time, you know, they were talking about stuff well in advance of it, you know, hitting us, you know, in mainstream consciousness. Like they were really, they went there. So, but, you know, I think high school is a big transition to college, and then college into real life is another big transition.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I remember in college, there were people who were trying to do little exercises where, you know, you need to say goodbye, you know, or you go to these places and, you know, before you graduate to say, you kind of say goodbye to these areas of your life and, you know, visiting, you know, really, really important spots on campus and just being able to say goodbye. And it's interesting. It's like, well, we're just leaving. We can always come back. Like, yeah, but you won't be back in the same capacity.
You're not going to be back like this. No.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's important. That's sort of like why, you know, when I'd go on these trips with my parents, you know, that's a period of time, even though it seems short. And I know most people think, no, you're on a ship for 3 weeks or whatever. But you know, you try to do the best you can, and you start observing the changes with all of us, not just with them, but with
mm-hmm.
me as well. And
mm-hmm.
that's just a reminder, like, you know, we're always changing, and the perspective, like, what was it? Even yesterday, you know, we, you know, the house, you know, Anna and Amy and I, we went to eat at a local country buffet, which it's country food, and I this is my first time going. Anna and Amy have been there a few times. It's delicious food. We'll have to go can come back and get all kinds. It's a buffet.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not like, you know, crazy, crazy expensive at all. It's actually really good. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, all right, I'm good. But, you know, they're hiring. And you know, like every restaurant's hiring. They need help. And I was looking around. I'm thinking, you know, if I were any bit younger, I would help out. It would be kind of cool. But then I'm like, I could do it for like 2 hours. And then I'd be like,
you'd be over it. Yeah.
Like, what do you mean I have?
Yes. Would you like, how would you like the wine pairing with this chicken fried steak? I can't even imagine.
I would get a nice chilled white. But, you know.
You, yes.
And I was looking at some other things. Like I remember when I was on my, probably not my very first cruise, but an early cruise, thinking, God, it'd be great to be on a cruise ship, to work on a cruise ship, you know?
Oh, God, no.
And then I thought, I would not have the energy for it. You know, like that's for,
so hard. Oh, my God.
That's for a much younger set.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that. And then, you know, the people who are a little bit older and have a family, like that's their motivation, is they're bringing all this money back to their families. But the sacrifices are not, they're not with their families for like 10 months out of the year, you know?
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, on second thought, no. But, you know, but those are different aspects of life that, you know, as we get older, we have to start thinking about. And I haven't really thought about it for me. I thought about it for my parents, but I haven't thought about it for me. And you know, it's time to be thinking about those sorts of things.
Oh yeah. It's crazy, but yep.
Yeah.
Finding ways to. Yeah, and not somber note. Absolutely. And as we do get older, and then we just see like, oh my God, like just see them dropping like flies, not in death, but in terms of giving up.
Well, I think that's the thing is, I've been around people of different ages, and they just
all
like
ages.
you just keep going, and whether you're going as a frustrated, angry teen, or you go as you know, a driven executive, whatever type, or as someone who is simply just enjoying life, and it's very different for each person. But you know, we're told a certain model early on of what.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do, what most people do, and then and so you see where the give and take is. Well, you work really hard, and then you retire, and then you're supposed to enjoy life. Then,
yeah, no, right. I'm saving for retirement. No, nope, nope.
So
nope. Yeah.
So there are some discrepancies in, like, you know, the model, and then the actual experience of it. And I feel like for me, I've caught glimpses of those things, and I knew that wasn't quite what I wanted, but I haven't really figured out what it is that I do want without my overthinking brain getting in the way and saying, but you can't do that. Cause it's like one foot in the reality that has been presented to me, and one foot in the possibilities of what could be. So that's what I've been realizing a big time lately is like,
Yep.
I've got to be in a different dimension.
I know.
I have to know that I could be in a different dimension. So
absolutely. Absolutely. It's so arresting and sobering when you see, you know, and I see people way younger than me, like just giving up, you know, and I think, oh my God, I know what's possible, you know, and I know that you can totally, you know, change your life. What was interesting is that sitting down with my accountant yesterday, and he showed me the last two tax returns, like how much it's reflected, how much I've changed my life from COVID to now. Thank you, NYU. And at this stage, I know it's possible. You know, I'm walking around at that job. Everybody thinks I'm 20 years younger than I am. Let them. And I'm not saying nothing. You know, mind your business. And those things that you're talking about are very much like in my consciousness, you know. And retirement's not even something in my mind at all. But I do want to have the proper paperwork in place, you know, to leave behind. So those things are
right.
Those things are on my mind. Those things. I did manage to write, I think halfway through, maybe a year into COVID, I managed to set up an annuity account for my kids. I know that I could personally leave. I did, yes, I'm very proud of that. So I know that I am going to leave something for them. But I have to do the will. I started it, and then I'm like, I dropped it. You know, there's three. But I do want to get, like, those medical directives.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Power of attorney, all those things, I need to do it. And I've been putting it off ever since, you know, with my mother's decline, I saw what was involved. And it's a lot of paperwork, and it's very daunting. But that's something that I really would like to accomplish this year, just to make sure, you know, and make my older son in charge of all of that. And, you know, do the right things and to hopefully be gainfully employed so that I can support myself and as long as, you know, they need me, even though my youngest one is turning 18. But, you know, in my worldview, I still need to be there for my kids. I don't care how old they get.
Right.
Yeah. And the key is to stay healthy. The key, that's really, you know, physical and brain health, essential, essential. You can't do anything without those things. And I'm not going to go on that merry-go-round, that carousel of, well, my life is going to turn into, you know, my doctor's appointments, and that's my identity. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Mm-mm. But it's daunting. I mean, these things do, you know, weigh heavily. These are things that we have to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I am with you.
Yeah, I know you and I have talked about that because we've talked about that on the show with you know, getting paperwork together and all that stuff. So,
yeah. And you had some great recommendations. It really is about a year ago.
Well, we do have a couple of requests.
Okay.
Well, one is a card for
okay.
Pick a card for, you know, for Jen, who's in the chat. And also we have a hand raised.
Yes. Okay, so let's do the call first, and then we'll do the card.
Okay, sounds good. And I think I know who this is, but we'll see. Area code 912, hello, you're on the air. Who's this?
Good morning. It's Contessa.
It's Tessa. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yay! Yeah.
Like, keep my 912.
Don't kill my vibe. Okay, anyway. Hi, baby.
Hello. How you guys doing?
You know, we're doing it. Yeah, what's going on?
Well, me and TJ done moved into, I don't know if I ever told y'all, but me and TJ's old apartment had a mold issue. Like,
ooh,
our whole apartment complex. Yeah, our whole apartment complex has a mold issue that we've been complaining about for, like, at least 2 years. So they've been renovating apartments and moving people into like new apartments like as of like a month ago or whatever. But this is after, like, we don't, like, literally harass these people for years upon years. So now we're unpacking and just, it's so crazy. I've been feeling so, like, off or I don't know how to explain it. But I told my sister this morning, I'm like living in this apartment is like the total opposite of my other apartment. So, like, everything is on, like, different sides. And I told her, like, I feel like I'm in, like, an alternate universe right now. It's missing with my brain. And she was just laughing at me this morning. Like, I'm so serious. Like, I feel, I don't know, kind of weird. So I just want to pull a message just to kind of.
Sure. Yeah. But it's interesting that you did, that you mentioned the brain. I think this is good for your brain. There's good, there's like maybe some switches that need to be activated in your brain, and the only way that could be activated is for you to have everything all kind of switched. I think this is absolutely a good thing. I really do. That's just like the immediate, without even looking at, without even touching the database yet. But just, I'm just getting a hit with that. And is there something going on with respiratory? Is there, I don't know, what's going on? I don't know. I feel like, I don't know if someone's a smoker or something, something with the air. And it's not mold because you're in a new space, but just something with respiratory. I don't know. Somebody has.
Well,
somebody used to be a smoker.
Been working on
what's going on?
Stop smoking weed. So that's
oh, is that you? Oh, is that you?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny,
yes.
Snoop. Okay, Snoop. Okay. Okay. Okay.
So
okay.
That's
funny.
I've been working on.
You know what? But there's nothing wrong with the ganj. You know, nothing wrong with it. Maybe cut back. Maybe cut back. Interesting.
You're
but that's
right.
Funny. I picked that up.
So
I mean, I micro. Oh, that's funny. Okay, that's funny. I feel like if, yeah, don't beat yourself up for that. Just maybe cut back a little bit, or just smoke it only at night. You know?
Yeah.
Just have it at night so you can sleep. No, I know. I'm picking up on it. It's strong. Why would I pick up on it? Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah. Tessa, like, you're not hurting anybody. I mean, maybe don't smoke it during the day. Maybe at night.
That's
maybe.
The people who I came to because I feel like I don't get enough done whenever, if I smoke during the daytime or something like, it just.
Yeah, well, hello. Yeah. I'm smoking at night.
Okay.
So, yeah, and also too, the issue isn't the weed. The issue is the resistance of being productive. But it has nothing to do, with something slowing you down. It's a very helpful tool to keep you in resistance, but it's really more about that. It's not the weed. It's not the weed, and you're going into your default setting of beating yourself up. Please don't do that. You're in self-attack, really, with the weed, to be honest. That's just what I'm getting. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, let's pull a message. I'm ready.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Oh, two-digit number. This is funny. Okay. All right. The number is two digits. It's 24. Okay. Listen to this. Honor the aches, pains, and discomfort of the body. This contract is to remind you to pay attention to your physical home. Funny. To your physical home and receive its wisdom. Crazy. I'm going to read it again. Honor the aches, pains, and discomfort of the body. This contrast is to remind you to pay attention to your physical home and receive its wisdom. 24.
Well, definitely send that one to me, Liz. I like that one.
Yes, I'm going to. Yes, I'm going to right now.
Well, the number there is a 6, 2 plus 4 is 6, but, you know, and the 6 has to do with your with love and your support and your family. And then the four actually has to do with the home, definitely. Four is about the home. And two is about relationships. So this is all about inner relationships and reflected in your physical relationships, in your physical home, really. That's really what that message is about. So when things are happening, you say like your body is your temple, you know, so that is your home. And then in your bigger sense of your physical home, you're in this transition. So you've been in a place where it wasn't conducive to your overall health. You know, mold is no joke. So when we deal with making that transition, then it's also kind of a clean slate, having to clear things out, and then you have to figure out how you want things. And I agree with Liz that for things to now be a kind of opposite of where they used to be, it's like it really is a big brain exercise for you to make these adjustments, but also to look at something from a very different perspective. So I feel like this is now a chance to balance out what was imbalanced and out of harmony in your old space. And all of this is about paying attention. So if your body is your temple and you pay attention to this message about the physical things that are happening to you and your physical home, then how would you want to treat this new space so that it is supportive of you and TJ, and you can build on what you want to be experiencing and having in your life? So you're unpacking stuff, but you're like, okay, some of the stuff might not all need to be unpacked. Some of it might need to be, you know, really reassessed and said, okay, well, do I really need it? And if I do need it, then in what capacity? So, and I don't smoke weed, so, you know, I'm always tangentially around it, but
I'm sorry. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's funny because I look at you guys, I'm like, well, you guys have to do it because I don't have to. But that's an expense I don't have to deal with. You're like, well, I'm trying to not do it. And if there is resistance there, then it's understanding, maybe you do cut back, like Liz was talking about. Maybe you just you use it at certain times, and so it makes sense, because if you are sort of like people who go on these crazy diets, you know, and they haven't really addressed a deeper issue, as my mentor Lois would say, the issues in your tissues. Mm-hmm. So those had to do with all the physical ailments or physical things or disease or whatever, discomfort. So this might just be like a rewiring for you of, you know, why you do it, when you do it. And so what is it that you want to feel? And when you do it, because if it is accompanied with guilt, then that's something else. But if it's like, well, because I was told I should do this, you know, those are things for other things that you can kind of unpack in a different way. But if you start off with it as you've done something wrong, then that's a whole perspective that takes you down a different type of rabbit hole. Then,
right,
you know, if it's been part of something, you know, for you that serves a bigger purpose, you know, whatever that may be, then yeah, don't start off in the deficit of like, crap, you know, I've done something wrong. It's like embracing that's been part of your life. And so is it something that you can let go of because you don't need it anymore? Thank you for it. Thank you. Good. But, or is it something that, like, I still want to do this, but I need it to be in my life in this capacity where I'm the boss of it, not the other way around. You know, I don't know. So, but that message, I'm like, that message is for me too, because, you know, I'm looking around at my space, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, yeah, yeah. Physical ailments, home, body's your temple. Pay attention.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And because it's a six, because that number mm-hmm. is a six, it's like still, and be loving about it. Be sure there's love.
Yes. Exactly. I was just going to say, don't beat yourself up. Because Tessa, that's the thing that you've been doing.
Right.
Since we know you. You get, no, let's not do that. You have surpassed that. Let's not do that. It's the issue, in my opinion, energetically, the issue is not the weed. You're making it that, but it's not. It's not. I think you pick one thing that you want to attend to and just focus on that one thing, and the other things will follow. Right now, I feel like there's so much that you're beating yourself up about that you want to do that hasn't been done, that you're not doing any of it. You got to pick one thing. What is the most pressing?
Okay.
And focus on that, and the rest will follow. Because I know, I feel it. I already know.
Okay.
It's really about that. Do not, but the thing to really focus on is your self-perception, or that you're feeling like you're not measuring up or you're falling short because you're dismissing your brilliance and your greatness. Your process is different, and I don't think you're accepting that your process is different. You're an artist. Artists are wired differently than the civilians out there. It's different. Honor that. Thank you.
Thank you.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm about to get
so, all right. So call us back and give us an update with your progress.
I will. I'm going to re-listen to the show today, too. So.
Cool.
Okay, good. Yeah. Don't beat yourself up.
You.
Stop it.
Love
seriously.
You guys.
Stop it. I'm
love
smacking
you.
You. I'm smacking you from New York. There you go. I just smacked you. Bye-bye. There you go. Get out.
Okay.
Get out. All right, get out.
See y'all later. Talk to
you later. I tell you, that's why in my classes, I finish, I'm like, get out.
Oh, that's too funny. All right,
mm-hmm.
so.
All right, so Jen wanted one, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so let's pull for Jen. Let me just get it up again. Let me find it. Where are you? Okay, okay, I'm ready for Jen.
Six.
Okay. 915. Oh, wow. Oh, I like this one. This is interesting. The cracks in the foundation of your energetic field are a gift as they provide the space and opportunity for release, clarity, and transformation. Ooh, I'm going to read it again. Okay. Never saw this one before. The cracks in the foundation of your energetic field, they provide the space and opportunity for release, clarity, and transformation. 915.
Cool. I like that.
Wow.
I was picturing well, with the numbers right away. I'm like, ooh, nine, transformation, and you know, and change. You know, nine is that bigger, the bigger picture of growth from all the things you've already experienced, and the one is a self, and then the five is a change that comes from having gone through this huge transformation.
Right.
It still equals a six, just like the previous number, previous message. It's still six, and there's still a lot of this, mm-hmm. you know, love is still a big factor here. Overall, that vibe is still here. And so when we deal with the F word, foundation, the foundation.
Ah, you silly. Ah, she's at the F word.
So there's these when we think about our foundation, like we don't want want to be solid and you know it's gotta support us. So when we look at cracks, we think of them as being so vulnerabilities perhaps, but you know, we can look at how we grow as, I think ideally we look like we grow, oh, we just build on it. You know, we just do this. We put something on top of it. When we do, you know, we build another platform. But this is like, a lot of times growth is just all kinds of awkward. It doesn't
painful.
Make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It brings up everything other than what you're thinking about. Usually, like anything other than love, you think of, you know, pain and suffering and all this other stuff.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you're down for the count. It means you still figure out ways, because you're going to grow. It just depends on, you know, what direction and what that growth brings with you. So obviously you want to bring love with us. And even something as simple as changing a habit, like with Tessa, changing a habit, whether you're cutting it out completely or you're just deciding to, you know, ease up a bit, there's a different vibration in your approach to it. So I think when we notice cracks in something, you're like, whoa, cracks in the foundation means, oh, we got to fill in those cracks, or we got to just demolish the whole thing. Because sometimes it's these extremes. But this is meant to, like, you know, anytime you do that, like it says, like, there's going to be space to work with. If you decide to work with it, if you view it as something that, oh, I can do something with this versus, oh my God, there's a crack. I gotta do all this other stuff. It's just, you know, the sky is falling, you know, that type of thing. So our approach, if it's a loving approach, there won't be as much anxiety as if we're on this default setting of the sky is falling. We can really look at it and say, all right, there's an opportunity here. You know, sometimes, like, you notice a crack and it leads you to another thing that you didn't even realize was happening. Anyone who's had to do any type of renovation or fix something in their house, it's like, oh, I thought it was just going to be this. And it's never just that. There's always much more underneath the surface. So it doesn't mean it needs a major overhaul. It just means maybe you just need to pay attention and then, you know, get to the real root of what's going on and then see where you want to go. Because if you're still wanting, you know, if you're still wanting in this house, then you take care of it. And I like that phrase, to take care, not fix it, but take care of it.
Right.
So there's a very different a vibe with, I got to fix it, which is under the realm of that six, like a six likes to fix things. Because there's a lot of wanting to love and share, but you know, like some people don't want to be, no one wants to be a project, you know, you don't want to be fixed.
No.
So if you're on the receiving end of it, usually you're in resistance, but if you're the one doing it, you're like, I'm trying to, I love you. I'm trying to show you I love you.
I'm fixing to fix you.
I'm going to fix you.
I'm fixing to fix you.
So, so when we look at it differently, I mean, it's like it's on that same spectrum, but there's one end, it's a lot heavier, and there's a lot of shoulds, and you have to do this, it has to be perfect, and then this take care is such a softer, more applicable, usually better received than I gotta fix you. I want to take care. Take care. I'll take care. Anyone want care? I'll take care.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'll take it all day. Yeah.
Anyone want to get fixed? Like, even
yes.
your pets really don't want to get fixed, but you know, it's like for the greater good. But
right.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Tessa just had texted me and said, 915 is an angel number. I see it all the time. That's awesome.
Oh. Oh wow. Okay, see, there you go.
Yeah. And then Jen said, I like the advice that you gave Tessa in going to the source, doing intermittent fasting, but strongly believe what you said about yourselves needing to believe the change, right? And then she said, no, fixing means you are broken. None of us are broken. Exactly.
Yes, Jen, preach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we don't need to be so hard on ourselves. Life does a good job without our help. We don't need to be doing. We don't need to add to the party. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are really good messages.
Yeah, they're great.
And thank you for sending them to me that way, so I can really look at them and. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And so when we look at also with that message, the cracks in the foundation of your energetic field are a gift as they provide the space and opportunity. So there's opportunity. You can take it or not, but there's release, mm-hmm. clarity, and transformation. So anytime, you know. Like,
I love that. Mm-hmm.
With this space that's created, there's that release. Because whatever was together is now, it's open. It's a little more open. You can see what's going on and you can decide how you want to transform it or how it transforms you. We don't stay a baby. We grow and that doesn't always feel good. So things have to transform. Like we're never just one thing. We're always transforming. We're always doing something as we evolve. I mean, whether it's on these quantum levels or, even if it's, I'm going to have a makeover, whatever, it can be very drastic. But a lot of times it's these little things that you aren't always aware of all the time. But when you're checking in and you're taking care, you are paying attention. And it doesn't have to be micromanaged. You just need to be able to make these connections. It's like pulling on a loose thread, if you it could unravel everything and that could be the worst thing ever, or it could be like, oh, look, this is okay. Now I can do something else with it. So it really depends on your mindset of what you think of and how you view changes and transformation. And not everyone likes change, but everyone goes through the change, through changes. So the more we on board we can be with what's going on, the better we can be in harmony with it, with ourselves. Yeah, these are really big messages.
They really are. Yeah, it's crazy. Because a lot of them, I'm seeing them for the first time, even though I wrote them in an altered state many, many years ago, over a period of a couple of years.
Right.
Yeah, crazy.
Right.
On this defunct Twitter account that no longer exists. It's crazy. But I'm so glad I transposed them into this database because I love that, because the only place that these messages exist, it's on the show.
Right.
So they're good.
Right.
Yeah. 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 They've been really, it's funny, like this year more than any other year, I've been really pulling messages for myself. Like it's crazy. I never did before. I'm like, why am I doing it for everybody else? Hello. Yeah. And they're so helpful. Yeah, the guidance is, it's crazy, And I love it when a listener, picks a message and it's like the most appropriate thing. It's amazing. Yes, what a gift. But hopefully they're helpful to you all. And it's a pleasure and a privilege that, we have them, available. But in terms of, this is crazy. So on my, I have them transposed as a doc. The document is 101 pages long with all the messages.
What?
That's how many messages I have. 101 pages. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, that really, maybe one day I should turn it into a book or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's 101 pages of messages. And each message is 140 characters or less, because that's when Twitter didn't have the minimum, when Twitter had the minimum back in the day. There, anyway, they're just, I love that we have them for the show. It's a highlight. Okay, anyway. yay. So if any of you are fixing to get a hold of us, you can send us loablend@gmail.com, and we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.